Cleopatra's Legacy, The Enduring Struggle, Chapter 2, The Gathering Storm. Last time on Cleopatra's Struggle, confronted by Amunet, the ancient guardian, Cleopatra dismisses warnings of the dark serpent god Apophis. Her preoccupation with day-to-day matters in the realm has given an opportunity for the god to gain a stronghold. In lieu of seeking spiritual solutions like her advisors suggest, she instead seeks a general from Rome to help her fight back. The Roman general Mark Antony has made camp outside of Alexandria. The camp is bustling with activity as soldiers prepare for a potential conflict. Tents are set up and the air is filled with the clamor of metal and murmur of strategy. Cleopatra, entering the camp, approaches Mark Antony. Mark Antony, we face unrest in the city. The vision of Amunet now seems to be a dire warning. Antony, a politician as well as a general, is known for his military prowess and political ambition. He was tall and imposing, with rugged features, dark curly hair, and a commanding presence that exuded both strength and charisma. He turned to Cleopatra, his face serious. Cleopatra, the unrest may be a ploy to weaken us. It is a crucial factor that we maintain control and not let this turmoil fracture our defenses. Cleopatra nodded. Well, that's true, but this vision I had before the chaos cannot be ignored. Amunet spoke of Apophis, the serpent of chaos, and if there is a divine warning, perhaps we should heed it. The general nodded. Well, I agree. However, we must address both the immediate and the long-term implications. Combining our military might with the wisdom of the mystery schools might give us the upper hand. This struck a chord with Cleopatra.
Indeed.
The strength of our armies is formidable, but understanding the deeper threats may give us the strategic edge that we need. We must harness every resource at our disposal. And Mark Antony said, then we shall incorporate this mystical wisdom into our strategy. I trust your judgment on this matter, Queen, and we will need every advantage we can get.
Very well, then. I will arrange a meeting with the keepers of these ancient secrets.
And Antony said, well, then make it swift, because the unrest within Alexandria grows by the day, and our enemies will exploit any sign of weakness. In Cleopatra's war room, a strategically designed space filled with maps, scrolls, and military artifacts, the Queen and Mark Antony are surrounded by advisors and military strategists. Antony, examining a map, looks up. Cleopatra, what can these mysteries provide us that our soldiers cannot? And Cleopatra, gesturing to her scrolls, said,
mystical knowledge offers insights into the unseen forces at play. It can reveal the true nature of our adversaries, both mortal and divine.
And Antony said, well, then how can this wisdom be applied to our current situation? And the Queen of the Nile answered,
mysticism can fortify our resolve and guide our strategies and provide a framework for understanding the chaos that threatens us. If we align our actions with this knowledge, we can anticipate and counter the dark forces more effectively.
So you believe that these ancient teachings can actually offer us a strategic advantage? And Cleopatra stood firm. Precisely. They help us perceive threats beyond the physical realm, and we can prepare accordingly. The mystery schools hold secrets that can illuminate our path forward. Antony conceded. Well, if you are convinced of their value, then we shall seek their counsel. Let us hope these ancient truths provide the clarity we need. And Cleopatra replied,
we will need to act quickly. The balance of power is up for grabs, and every moment counts.
That evening, in Cleopatra's private chamber, a serene space with luxurious furnishings, the room is softly lit by the glow of oil lamps. Cleopatra sits in a large chair by herself, lost in thought. There's the gentle rustling of curtains and faint echo. Amunet's voice is heard.
Cleopatra, the forces of Apophis are more than mere men. They are agents of chaos. Embrace the knowledge of the ancients, for it will guide you. Cleopatra was startled, glanced around, and then said, Amunet, is that you? And Amunet said, Yes, the serpent god's influence spreads through your land, seeking to sow discord and confusion. You must be prepared to face these forces with wisdom and strength. What must I do to counter this threat, ancient guardian? And Amunet said, You must seek out the mystery school. There you will find the wisdom you need to understand and combat the darkness that threatens to engulf your realm. And Cleopatra, determined, said, Then I will go to them. Their teachings may hold the key to our salvation. But how can we prepare our people for what is to come? And Amunet said, Prepare them with knowledge and courage. The path ahead will be fraught with challenges. But with the guidance of the ancients, with knowledge of the mysteries, you may yet prevail. And Cleopatra said, Thank you, Amunet. I will heed your words and act swiftly, unlike before. And Amunet said, Remember, Cleopatra, balance is essential. Never let the darkness consume you, but seek the light that guides through the shadows. As the weight of mortal and celestial decisions hang heavy within Cleopatra's palace, far beyond the earthly realm and the ethereal expanse of the gods' domain, a different conversation begins to unfold. Several gods have gathered in the celestial hall of the gods. It is a grand hall with divine light. Thoth, the ibis-headed god of wisdom and balance, stands at the center, his long curved beak resembling the sacred bird that he embodies. He holds the scales of justice. Across from him, Sekhmet, the lioness-headed goddess of war and healing, radiates a fierce intensity. Thoth says, Apophis stirs chaos among mortals, but do we intervene or do we merely watch? And Sekhmet says,
His fierceness spreads. The realm will fall into ruin.
Thoth responds, Yet the people have neglected us, forsaking the balance we've bestowed. The failure to honor Ma'at, it's opened them up to this. There's no balance. Horus, the falcon-headed god of the sky and protection, steps forward, his sharp gaze unwavering.
If Apophis succeeds, there will be no balance left to protect. But it is their neglect that has led to this. Perhaps they must face the consequences.
And Thoth was thoughtful.
We must intervene subtly, respecting their agency.
But let them know this. The restoration of balance lies in their hands as much as ours. With a silent agreement, the gods, each embodying their divine roles, begin to disperse, their forms fading into the light. The scene shifts to the bedchamber of Cleopatra, Queen of Egypt. The room is opulent, adorned with golden statues and rich tapestries lit by the soft glow of oil lamps. The air is thick with incense, and Cleopatra, dressed in a flowing white robe, reclines on her bed, her brow furrowed in thought. A gentle breeze stirs the curtains, and without warning, Horus, the falcon-headed deity, materializes at the foot of her bed. His presence is imposing, his sharp golden eyes glowing in the dim light. Horus, his voice strong and commanding, says,
Cleopatra, Queen of Egypt, your people grow weak, their spirits lost in the shadows.
And Cleopatra sits up, her gaze unwavering but weary.
I know of the whispers, Horus. They say Apophis, the serpent god, rises in the dark, feeding on the souls of those who falter, perhaps on Egypt itself.
And Horus, his wings stirring gently, his voice solemn, says,
It is true. The people have turned from the light. They no longer believe in the sacred or the power of the gods. Their hearts are hollow, and in their emptiness they welcome Apophis and his poison.
Cleopatra, clenching her fists in defiance, says,
Then I will raise my armies. I will crush his cult beneath my heel and burn his temples to ash, and I have Mark Antony to help. And Horus shakes his head, says,
No army can save them now, not from this. Their souls are lost, their minds ensnared by the serpent's wisdom.
Well, I was told by Amunet to pursue the mystery schools.
Well, I join in her suggestion, the god says. Only through spiritual renewal can they be freed, your people. And only you, queen, can lead them out of the darkness.
Cleopatra arises from her bed, pacing, her expression hardened with the weight of her realm. She says in a low but determined voice, Spiritual renewal. I have led armies, conquered lands, but I can also save souls. And Horus, his eyes glowing with ancient wisdom, says,
You are not merely a queen of the flesh, Cleopatra. You are a symbol of Egypt's soul. The people look to you, and through your own pursuit of the sacred, you must light the way for them.
And Cleopatra, with renewed resolve, says, I will show them the way. And if I must battle Apophis, not with armies, but with the strength of my soul, so be it. I will not let Egypt fall. Horus nods, his form beginning to fade into the shadows.
The battle is beginning, Queen. Prepare yourself, for the serpent has struck and will strike again soon.
As Horus's form disappears, Cleopatra stands alone, her eyes fixed on the dark horizon beyond the palace walls. The distant cry of a falcon echoes through the silence. Cleopatra, Queen of Egypt, prepares to face a battle unlike any before. Not of swords and shields, but of spirit and faith. With her own soul as the beacon, she will lead her people from the grasp of Apophis, the serpent god. For in the heart of Egypt's queen, there burns a flame that no god, no serpent, can ever extinguish.